a chunk, a whole chapter, Proverbs chapter 2, and I had this whole idea that I was going to ask either my dad or my father-in-law to read it, because this is a father talking to a son, and I thought that might be, you know, this symbolic and all that, but neither one of them are here. One's in Mexico, one's in Burns Lake, I think. Two very different places. So I'll just read it. And this is a father again to a son, or we could just say a parent to a child, that these words have been given by God for parents to use to train their children. And we read, starting in verse 1, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding," something is not quite right. Oh. I do it? Okay. "And if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths and walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths..." Something evil is happening. This is actually... Can you hear me now? All right. "Whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious in their ways. Wisdom shall save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it." This is the word of the Lord. Again, this picture here, as a reminder, sometimes we think of wisdom as a perfect, pristine pair of shoes. But wisdom gets down in the muck, gets to work. It's about the choices we make in our day-to-day lives. That's why this picture. So last week, we talked about how wisdom, the purpose of the book of Proverbs, is for gaining righteousness, for living a life that is honoring to God. We saw that wisdom is not just for one type of person, it's for all people to look into and gain insight. And we saw that there are two paths that we can go on, the way of God and the way of not God, the way of sin. And we learned that wisdom comes through knowledge of God, a relationship with Him. Wisdom is available, crying aloud to everyone. And that wisdom, the ultimate wisdom of God, is presented in the gospel, which is seen as foolishness
to the ways of humanity, that God would step into creation, that he would lay down his life for the forgiveness of our sins, and that by faith in him, we can be forgiven. So that's what we saw last week. And this week, well, I had this whole thing. I'll say, so if then is what I've called this sermon. I actually want to call it now if then for. And when I saw this, have you ever had a time when you see something in Scripture and it reminds you of something in your past? Not anything good or bad, just like something that you experienced or did, and all these memories come flooding back. It could happen with anything, really. For me, I read all these statements that go if, and then go then, and I went, oh, this is like the symbolic logic class I took 22 years ago. And I got real nerdy and thought, I'm going to bring a whiteboard out and show them all the symbolic logic stuff that makes this thing stand out. And then on Friday night, I went, no, that's stupid. They're all going to get up and leave if I do that. So, so I'm not going to do that, but I did have this. This is something we had to do symbolic logic, but the whole point of these things is essentially they're conditional statements that if you do something, then there will be a result. And that's the main point. And we could go, I had this whole list of different philosophical things, but I don't want to get into that because I think that just bogs us down. The point of this passage is at the very beginning, there's these conditional statements. And these conditional statements say, if you do X. And there's a bunch of them. So we're just going to take a look at those conditional statements, and then it goes, if you do this, then this will happen, for God is at work. And that's sort of the and then there's a conclusion in the end. So it starts, if you accept the words. If you accept the words that the Father is teaching, if you accept the words of God, if you accept the words of God, and ultimately this is the Father saying, if you accept my words, but we know this is the word of God that we are given. And God gave these words to Solomon, and Solomon wrote them in Proverbs. And then he gave it to the parents to be able to teach their children how to live righteous lives. And so this is the words. If you accept them, and in it says, if you accept them, essentially by embodying the commandments that he's given. If you accept them by embodying the commandments he's given. This is what the New Testament would call putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Walking as a new creation in Christ. It means that we live out wisdom. It means that we live out the teachings of God. We don't just hear them and walk away. We actually take them to heart and walk them out in our day-to-day lives. And that's the first if. If you accept and then embody. So not just accept them and say, yes, I believe them, but actually live them out. That's the first condition, if you do that. The second condition is if you pay attention, if you incline your ear to wisdom and direct your heart toward understanding, if you pay attention, and this is pay attention to the Word of God, but not just to the words, but seek to understand how they apply to your life, seek to understand why God has given these to us. Why God has called us to live lives of righteousness and holiness through Jesus. It's because he loves us. It's the primary reason. Because he loves us, and he is holy, and he has called us to be holy, set apart to him. I think I've mentioned this before, but one of my teachers at Cary, instructors, Dr. Rogan, I had him for the first three classes I took at Cary, and in the third class he said, I don't know if you've noticed, but each class has an undertone that I put into it. And he said, if you picked it up, the first class It was prayer. And it's true. Every assignment had a prayer attached to it. We had to write a prayer for every single assignment, no matter what it was. The last part of the assignment was write a prayer based on the reading that you've done. The next one was questions. And it was write down questions you have that would help, if you answered them, it'd help you better understand the passages that you're studying. And then attempt to answer them based on the things that you know. And the last one was probably the most important. It was attention. And he said, pay attention to Scripture. He said, pay attention to Scripture. And seek to understand it. Spend time. Read and reread. And really, praying and asking questions are all part of paying attention to Scripture. So pay attention to what God, where God is leading us, to what He is saying to us, so that we can incline our hearts towards understanding. When Jesus had all these debates with the Pharisees in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the Pharisees are always coming to Him, and they are really good at keeping the letter of the law. Really good at keeping the letter of the law, and also really good at telling other people when they're not keeping the letter of the law, right? But Jesus says to them, you might keep the letter of the law, but you're missing the heart of the law. You're missing the purpose of the law. When we pay attention to God's word, it lets us know not just what to do, but the heart behind it, the intention, the purpose of what God is saying in these passages. So pay attention. And the next one is pray. If you cry out, to insight and lift your voice to understanding. And there's a lot of different ways that we pray. One way is to cry out in whatever situation we're in. Cry out to ask God what decision we should make, to ask for God's guidance in whatever it is that we're doing, in whatever decision we face, recognizing that whether or not we are good at making decisions on our own, we depend on Him for everything. And that's what prayer acknowledges, that we depend on Him, that we need Him. And there are moments in our lives where we will cry out and say, I just don't understand why these things are happening. That's crying out for God to help us. So we might cry out and ask, God, what should we do in situations in our marriage, in our careers, finances, in any area? I heard someone say that he gets up in the morning, he asks God what socks he should wear. The answer is always Star Wars socks, by the way. But I don't know if we need to do that, but he was acknowledging the complete dependence he had on God to seek His wisdom for everything. And that's one way that we can pray. Another way we can pray is when we turn to Scripture, is to ask God to teach us, to show us what He means in Scripture. To ask God, what does this Scripture mean? How does it apply to my life? Show me how to walk it out. One thing, when Jamie McDonald was here, he talked about prayer in his sermon, and the thing that stood out to me was the way he talked about the way that we pray. So we might cry out for understanding to understand Scripture. We might cry out for understanding to know what to do in a given situation, how to apply Scripture to our lives, how to understand Scripture better. These are all good things. But he says, in terms of a method, he said we pray in paragraphs, where we might pray long prayers. Some of us more articulate than others in our prayers. Or we might pray sentences. Just a sentence, maybe two. Or we might pray only words. All we have is a couple of words to pray. God help me. Or we might pray sounds. The Bible tells us that even the groaning of the Spirit, He understands. So part of seeking wisdom is turning over everything to God in prayer, asking Him for his guidance, for his wisdom, acknowledging that we depend on him for everything, even in understanding how to walk out what he has taught us in his word. So we turn to God in prayer. We pay attention to Scripture. And we accept the words, the instructions of Scripture, and seek to embody them, live them out in our day-to-day lives. And then finally, we value wisdom. We value God's word. If we value it, here it's if you seek it like silver and search it out like a hidden treasure, if you treat it like it's worth something, that it's worth looking for, searching for, spending time devoted to finding, that is the final condition, valuing wisdom, valuing the word of God, valuing his instruction. Where when we value God's word, it means that we spend time. We take time. Because ultimately, what we value will come out in where we spend our time. And so that doesn't mean that you have to just tomorrow sit down and do nothing but read Scripture. You can. But it does mean that we take time with Scripture. We seek to understand. And we do seek to find out how to walk it out in our daily lives. So those are the conditions. If you do these things, in the Berean Standard Version, it says before each one of these, if you accept my words, if you incline my ears, your ears to wisdom, if you pay attention, if you truly call out to insight, if you pray, and if you seek it out, if you value it, then what happens? My page is stuck. I don't know. The results. And there are two results that we're given in this passage. The first one is you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. And the second one is then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. The results is then you'll have growth in your relationship with God and growth in your character. The answer is if you do all these things, if you're looking into Scripture, if you're seeking to understand, seeking to walk it out, you will grow in your relationship with God. You will grow in the fear of the Lord, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're terrified of God and you're going to go hide from him. Like we've said before, it means that we have a reverent acknowledgement of who God is and who we are in light of him. And the more you spend time with God, the closer you grow to him. I used to tell my youth about spending time with God, and that's how you get to know him better. As I said, if I told them that I was married to Melissa, and we got married on December 20th, 2015, and I only spend about a couple of minutes every few days with her, and that's it, would you think that I am growing in my relationship with her? And they would look at me like I was crazy, and they'd all say, no, I don't think you would. So when we spend time with him, we will grow in our relationship with him. And the more time we spend with him, the more we'll look like who he has intended us to be. The closer we will get to him, and like any relationship, we'll start to look more like him. Now, they said I was, you know, couples start to look more like each other. I'm still bald, and Melissa still has lots of hair, so I don't know. But you'll grow in your character. You'll grow in your character. You'll be able to apply God's teachings to your life more readily. You'll look more Christ-like. You'll understand his ways more. You'll be more and more equipped to daily put on your new self and walk out into the world and live for him and apply what you know of living a God-honoring life to your daily life, whether it's work or your relationships or recreation, whatever it is. And one thing I know that we often struggle with is trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? And ultimately, there might be specific questions that we need to seek answers for. But ultimately, what God wants us to do is be faithful. Is to trust and obey, as we sang this morning. To trust Him. So the results of these seeking wisdom things is that we will grow. We will grow in our relationship with God and in our character. The fruit of the Spirit will become more abundant in our lives. But it's not only because we're doing things. In fact, I would say the doing things is the smallest part of it. And this passage does tell us, because it gives us a four, what's really going on in the background. And I wish I had thought of that earlier, because I put why, but it's four, God is at work. It's not just that we're doing these things and by our own strength we are getting better at our understanding. It's that God is at work in us through the process. He is doing all the heavy lifting. It is His work in us. Because as we read that the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come understanding, or knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom. Wisdom is not something that we just find arbitrarily. It comes from God. We seek it, but the only reason why we get it is because He gives it. And wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will delight your soul. So God gives us the wisdom. And we're told that He speaks knowledge to us, which is the Word of God. As Bruce Waltke says, wisdom starts with revelation. It cannot start anywhere else. Wisdom starts with God speaking to us. That's where we get wisdom from. It's Him giving it to us. And our part in it is to do the things that are said in this passage, to accept, pay attention, pray, to value. But God's the one who ultimately gives it to us. It's not something that we have to put so much pressure on ourselves to try and get it on our own. It's God at work in us. It's kind of, in some ways, like how when my kids do an Easter egg hunt. They find the treasure, but the only reason they found it is because I put it there. Well, Melissa put it there, let's be honest. But the only reason they find it is because Mom and Dad put it there. Mom and Dad gave it. The only reason we find wisdom is because God gives it. God is at work. God is providing it for us. The Holy Spirit is at work on us as we study, as we spend time with Him, growing us daily. And we're told in this passage that because God gives wisdom, He will be our shield. He will be our protector. We talked a little bit about protection last week, but wisdom provides protection. But God also regenerates our hearts. God also regenerates our hearts. We read, wisdom will enter your heart. This is really another way of saying He's going to rip out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, or He's going to write the law on your heart instead of it being on a stone tablet. That the Holy Spirit enters into us. When we come to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit, as Ephesians tells us, is given to us as a down payment of our salvation, a guarantee. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reveals Scripture to us, points us to more and more towards Christ each and every day. Through the wisdom of Christ, through his death and resurrection, through trusting in him, through remembering that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, by coming to belief in Jesus, coming to faith in him, but not also forgetting, choose for yourself whom you will serve, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, that Jesus is both Savior and Lord. It provides us with wisdom. He gives it to us, and he regenerates our hearts, giving us the ability to walk with him, giving us the ability to grow closer to him, giving us the ability to understand what it is to be in a relationship with him, to be set apart from the world around us. And then finally, we get the part of the passage that might be a little uncomfortable, but it's there, so let's talk about it. There's a therefore, there's a conclusion, there's a case study that is given. First, it's that we're told that in a general sense, he will guard the paths of justice and protect the way of his saints. If we are his people, he will protect our way. And there are two case studies or two snares that we can fall into that are identified here. One is to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perversely, from those who leave the straight paths to walk in the ways of darkness. The other one, it will rescue you from the forbidden woman, from the stranger with seductive words. It'll rescue you from these two dangers. So keep you on the right path and rescue you from abandoning faith. The man in this passage, and I'll just say the reason why it's a man and a woman in this one is kind of going down this road, being called into a friendship with someone who's delighting in darkness, and the other one into a relationship with someone who's delighting in darkness, an affair, is mainly because we have, this is addressed to a son. So you could flip things around here a bit if you wanted to, but the principle is it keeps us from abandoning our faith. The man is said to have perverse speech, but also persuasive speech. Much like the Father's words are to persuade us to maintain faith, the man in this passage, the man who speaks perversely, is someone who's trying to coax people to go his way. And he is one who is said to have abandoned wisdom, to abandon the ways of God, and is now delighting in evil. Delighting in evil. Now, this probably doesn't affect many people, but there was two very prominent guys on YouTube for years who were Christians, and they were funny, which isn't always a combination that goes together. And a few years ago, they came out with a whole very long two-part podcast on why they're no longer Christians. And their podcast, they basically seek to persuade others to join them. They didn't use those words, but you can tell if you listen to the whole thing that that's what they were doing. It's sad, but they had abandoned their way and they are now delighting in where they are now. They're very happy with where they are now, which is very sad. And so, you know, when I watched it, I was sad. I was also angry. And I was a youth pastor at the time, so I just was like, how can I scrub this from the internet so the students don't ever see it? Well, you can't, but you can at least equip them to tell them, hey, when you know God, you can recognize people who are trying to take you off the path. When you grow deeper in your relationship, if you do these things, God is at work in you. You will be able to discern when someone is calling you away from the good way, away from God's way. We can identify errors. And then the other one is abandoning covenant. Specifically here, it's abandoning a marriage covenant. That the woman pictured here is also persuasive in her speech, coaxing someone into a wrong relationship. It says smooth talking and offering instant gratification and excitement. But we're told that this is a path that leads to destruction. This is a path that leads to destruction. And one thing that God uses as an, uses the covenant of marriage as an example of the covenant that Israel had with God. And by extension, in the New Testament, the same thing is presented, that the church is the bride of Christ. That in the, especially the book of Hosea, God basically just says, Israel, you've been cheating on me. You've been cheating on me with all sorts of other gods. And so adultery can also equal idolatry. And in Israel, it was gods like Baal and Molech or Asherah, among other Canaanite gods that they turned to, who offered what they thought was a better deal, who offered instant gratification. As John Calvin says, that humans are idol-making factories. So each one of us may make idols from time to time. And the more we know God, the more we can discern when we are putting something on the God shelf, putting something where only God is supposed to be, putting something above God. And when we recognize that, well, as this passage says, we'll be able to be rescued from it by having wisdom and turning away. Repentance literally doesn't mean to turn away, and in these moments, turning away. One thing that I think as we grow closer to God, as we grow in our understanding, as we develop wisdom, is we get this like Holy Spirit alarm bell that might go off in our heads when we're going down a road that we're not supposed to go down. I used to say this to kids, if you ever get a feeling like you shouldn't be doing something, don't do it. Don't debate whether, is this God or is this my own conscience? Just don't do it. It's the same thing for grown-ups too, right? If we're going down a road where we're like, I shouldn't be here, if we're feeling that nudge, trust it, follow it, move away from it. So if we pay attention, if we accept the words, if we pray, if we value the instruction of God, we will grow in our relationship with God. We will grow in our character. Why? Not because we're doing a whole bunch of, we're doing it all in our own effort. It's because through a relationship with Jesus Christ, God is at work with us as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, teaching us, leading us, and guiding us so that we are able to discern light from darkness. We are able to discern truth from error, and we're able to, as the New Testament says, stand up under temptation, to resist it, to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the final thing, there's another conclusion, and that is blessing. God has promised that he will bless us. You will follow in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inherit the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be uprooted. The land in the Old Testament was the inheritance that Israel was promised. When we did our first Peter series, we talked about how our inheritance is stored up with God in heaven, where it is imperishable, inflation-proof. And we have that promise today that when we are in Christ, he is at work in us and he is keeping our inheritance ready for when we see him face to face, when we dwell with him in the fullness of God. The land also teaches us that, or promises fruitfulness. It promises security. It promises all these things. Now, these don't mean that we'll have a perfect life on earth. Far from it. We still are dealing with the effects of sin in the world, but we are promised that we will receive blessing from God, which primarily comes from knowing Him, growing closer to Him, having more of Him. And the reason we receive blessing, of course, it's not because of all the things that we do or because we've earned anything from God or earned something that He has to give us. It's because God is at work in us, because we are His. If we have faith in Christ, we are His, and God promises that He keeps, protects, and guides those who belong to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence in our lives. We thank You that You promise that You will never leave us or forsake us. We thank You that through faith in You, You dwell with us, and You are at work in us. So, Lord, we pray that You would continue to work in us each and every day, that You would show us Your wisdom, that You would give us understanding, that You would grow us in our relationship with You and in our character, that You would help us to fall more in love with You, help us to do the things that this passage instructs us to do, which is to accept Your words and embody them, walk them out in our daily lives, to pay attention to Your word, to seek to understand it, to pray for understanding, not only of Your word, but also of how it applies to our daily lives and the choices that we make, and to value Your word, to really take time, to value time spent with You, and to make that a priority. Help us to lay down our idols. Help us to avoid going down the sinful paths. Help us to identify truth from error, light from dark. And help us to live a life that is honoring to You, not because we're doing it to earn Your favor, but because we are already Your people. We already belong to You. I pray that You would be at work in us and that You would keep us because we are Yours. Amen.